Hey, good morning, Christ Church. Welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope that you're having a great summer. And I just have to acknowledge something. Man, it's been such a great season this summer at our church. Just last Sunday, we had our post-COVID attendance record. It was just such a blessing to see so many people coming back and so many people coming for the first time. And, you know, numbers aren't everything, but every number represents a person. It represents a story. It represents God doing something in someone's life. And I'm just so encouraged to see God moving in our church through this season. So I want to thank you for inviting. I want to thank you for serving. I want to thank you for prayers. And, you know, last Sunday, I just left so full, and I just left with this huge sense of faith. The potential that God has for our campus. So I hope that you're excited, and let's just continue to serve the Lord together. But let me say a prayer, and we'll get to the message today. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for what you're doing in our church. Thank you for, Lord, how you've led us through a difficult season. Thank you for momentum. Thank you for excitement. Thank you for people getting connected and serving and honoring you. Now today, Lord, help us to learn to humble ourselves under your mighty hand. And I pray, Father, that we could see the blessing in that. Guide us in this, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are continuing our sermon series in the book of 1 Peter. And today, we're going to talk about this idea of humility. Muhammad Ali, I love what he said. He said, it'd be a lot easier to be humble if I wasn't so great. Maybe some of us feel that same struggle in our lives. But what we've been looking at in 1 Peter is how Peter calls us to these counterintuitive, to these countercultural ideas that help us to live as God wants us to in a world that doesn't always see the value of these concepts. And as I was looking at this, I was reminded of an interview that General Stanley McChrystal had. He, at the time, was the commander of all the forces in Afghanistan. And someone said, how are you going to approach this really difficult and challenging war? And in response, he said this. He said, I found that the best answers and approaches are counterintuitive. The opposite of what it seems you ought to do is what ought to be done. So when I'm asked the question, what approach should we take in Afghanistan? I say humility. I thought that was really, really powerful. And today, I want to build on that idea. And we're going to see that the Apostle Peter wrote 2,000 years ago. He says, believe it or not, one of the best approaches to life is humility. And specifically, he's going to say that one of the best ways to deal with the anxiety in our lives is to practice humility. It might not make sense, that relationship. It might seem counterintuitive, but I think what McChrystal says is right. Sometimes what should be done doesn't always seem to be our first go-to, but in fact, it can be the right thing. And so Peter is going to show us this counterintuitive approach to life, this counterintuitive approach to dealing with our anxiety and our fears and our struggle. And I hope it's really, really helpful to you today. Now let's look at the words of Peter. Here's what he says. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 5. He says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now I'm not going to talk a whole lot about these verses today. These two. In fact, I'm only going to say two things about them. Here's the first thing. Pride is protein in our lives. And what I mean by that is it takes all different forms. Peter is writing to this audience and he's saying, clothe yourself with humility. Put humility on because pride is your nemesis. And what I know in my life is that when I look at almost every relationship struggle in my life, 8 out of 10 times, my own pride is part of the problem in a significant way. Almost every single time. But yet, even though it's a problem, I can rarely see it except when God helps me to see it and I'm open enough to actually listen to him. People can tell it to me all the time, but all I do is I power up in response, and in my mind or through my words, I talk about all their dysfunction. But I want you to just hear today that if you're struggling in any way, just start in saying, God, is this a pride issue? Is this a pride? Because I know no one else is going to be able to tell you that it is. You got to hear it from God. The Spirit has to convict you. But if you're really, really open to that, you might find the healing and the help that you need. And here's the second thing. Pride is so dangerous because it shuts us off from God. Peter says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I cannot afford God to resist me. I need God's grace. I need God's help. If you can afford God to resist you, then you don't have to worry about pride in your life. But if you're like me and you can't afford that faucet being shut off, then we need to take really, really seriously what Peter is saying. So that's all I'm going to say about those verses. But now I want to focus on 6 and 7. And that's what I want this whole sermon to be about. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And in these verses, there's two ideas here that I want to talk about, the problem and the practice. The problem of pride and anxiety and how they're interconnected. And then I want to talk about the practice. How do we humble ourselves before God? I've talked in a lot of sermons about how we humble ourselves before each other, and I will continue to talk about that. But today I really want to focus on what does it look like to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. But let's talk about this problem first, because Peter connects pride and anxiety. And I think that's fascinating, because I don't know about you, I struggle with anxiety. And I bet you do too. In fact, I read a powerful quote recently that I've not been able to get out of my mind. It's by Kate Fagan. She said that one study found an average high school student today likely deals with as much anxiety as a psychiatric patient did in the 1950s. How crazy is that? But no matter what research you read, what you will consistently find is anxiety in our world is going up and up and up and up. Which either means that our problems are getting bigger, which is possible, or it means we're just not dealing with it well, which I think has to be true. And so Peter says, believe it or not, part of our struggle is this struggle of understanding what it looks like to humble ourselves under God and how to do it. And here's some of the problem that I want to dig into today. That you can know and love God. You can believe fully in the goodness of God. You can put your faith for salvation in Christ and still really struggle with anxiety, right? You can have great right theology. I've had more theological education than a lot of people that I know. I've read a ton of books. I've had great teachers. There have been these great investments. But yet, I still find myself at times stuck in the craziness of my own anxious mind. Can you relate to that? And I love God. I believe him in Christ to the core of who I am. But yet, the struggle can be real in my life, and I know it can be real in your life. And I think that God does not want us to live in that insanity, in that struggle, in that difficulty. But sometimes what we do as followers of Jesus is we believe in God, but we're anxious believers. And what we do is we focus the present comforts that God wants to give us in our struggle with anxiety. I know I've done it a lot. But I'm telling you today, it doesn't have to be that way. Here's the second part of this problem. Is I wonder, what does it look like to the world when followers of Jesus are as anxious as everyone else? What does that show the world about your confidence and my confidence in God? If here we are, we're saying, hey, I believe in the goodness of God. I believe in the power of God. I believe in the love of God. But yet, I'm as fearful as everyone else that doesn't. Does that send mixed messages? I think it might. One great preacher, Andy Stanley, he talked about this idea in a little bit different way, but I really loved how he talked about it. He said when some of us, when we look at the world and we get so wound up and we have this narrative that the world's terrible and it's all going to just get worse and worse, and we have all this really like fear-inducing spirit and words, he says what we are ultimately telling younger generations is that God is not good enough and big enough to solve the problems of the future, and that we need to go into them not with faith but with fear. And he says that's a terrible message to pass on. But yet, don't we do that sometimes? Don't we bring that into our families, into our workplaces? And church, we got to be careful about that, because the upcoming generations and the people around us need to know God is more than big enough to take care of the problems of the future. God is more than capable to figure out whatever is ahead of us. And we don't need to be freaking out. We can trust in him because he's been faithful in the past. He will be faithful in the future. And our anxious presence can send a much different reality than that. And here's the third thing. Anxiety is resistant to the grace of God. Peter says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting your anxiety on him. See, sometimes my anxiety, it's rooted in a rejection of God's power, of God's goodness, of God's wisdom. See, many times in me, my anxiety is just really trying to micromanage God. I'm trying to make sure that God is doing what I want him to do, when he wants, when I want him to do it. And if you've ever tried to micromanage God, it's a really frustrating experience. And it will drive you insane. And when you're trying to do it, it's gonna fill you with all kinds of anxiety, because God is not to be micromanaged. And a relationship with him where I'm always trying to do that is going to be one of constant confusion and constant frustration. And so there's a problem with my anxiety. And Peter says the way out of it is actually in humility. That's one of the things that will help us tremendously, that when I humble myself under the mighty hand of God, I'm then able to actually cast my anxiety on him and believe in my heart that he cares for me. You see the process there. When I humble myself under the mighty hand of God, I no longer have to carry my anxiety. I can learn to cast it on him. And if you want to do that today, I want to talk about how we can practice humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. What does that mean? What does that look like? And I want to give you just some different thoughts that might help us to do it. Here's the first thing that I think it looks like. Humbling myself under the mighty hand of God, it means this. It means recognizing that all of my relationship with God is built on grace. If you think God's loves you because of your performance, because of what you and I have to offer him, we will never really humble ourselves under him. When I realize that everything that I have, all the blessings of God, it's all motivated by grace. The great and the good things in my life, I did not earn. I've received them from a gift. The fact that I can confidently say God knows me and loves me and forgives me and I can have eternal hope, it's all built on grace, which is undeserved love. And today, if you're a follower of Jesus, one of the things that can help us humble ourselves before God is realizing, I didn't earn any of this. I didn't earn my relationship with him. I'm not worthy of it. It's an act of grace on God's part to bring me into his family. And so anytime where I think I have leverage on God, where I can start looking down on others, I have to remember it's all grace. And I have to reconnect to the truth and the power of the gospel. Here's a second way to humble ourselves under God, is when we practice confessing to God how we could have acted and done better in the different situations and struggles of life. See, I know when I'm in a hard time in my life, what I want to do is feel bad for myself. And I'm really great at that. I can wallow in my own self-pity as good as anyone that walks this earth. And I find this odd comfort in it. But here's what I also realize. It's not healthy for me at all. And it makes things worse. And the longer I stay in it, the more I get stuck in it. And for some of us, what we need to practice, the way we need to humble ourselves before God, is we need to stop wallowing in our pity, and we need to start confessing to God what we could have done better. Which when you're wallowing in your self-pity, that's the last thing that you want to do. Is to say, well, Lord, you know what? Maybe I could have responded differently. Maybe I could have been more hopeful. Maybe I could have trusted you more. And the ironic thing is, the more that you and I confess what we could have done better to God, the more anti-anxiety effects come with that. See, when I go to God and the things that I'm so stressed about, the things that I'm so frustrated about, the things that I'm so angry about, when I begin to just own what I can own in a healthy way and I confess it to God, the more free I actually become from it. And some of us today, we might really be struggling with anxiety because we are struggling to justify our behavior, but it's unjustifiable. We're trying to prove to ourselves and others that we're right in how we've been acting and how we've been living, and the truth is we're not right. And so it's such an anxiety-inducing place where what we really need to do is experience the grace of confession. We just say, God, no, I haven't been right. I wish I was. I want to be all self-righteous now. I want to be on my high horse, but in honesty and authenticity before your presence, I can't be. And so, Lord, I'm sorry. Would you help me to do better? And church, as soon as you go to that place, a lot of the burdens that we carry get lifted. When we hold that in and we fight to be right in our own sight, it keeps us imprisoned and it keeps us in the cycle of anxiety. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Don't worry about someone else's confession. Worry about your own. Don't worry about someone else coming clean before God. That's between them and God. But what we can own is between us and God. And I know it's counterintuitive, but confession is your friend. Here's the third thing. Trust that God's ability and timing to exalt you is infinitely better than your own. Peter says, at the proper time, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. At the proper time, he will exalt you. If you feel just beat down, if you feel like your face is in the mud right now, I want you to know, if you continue to seek and follow God through this time, at the right time, he will exalt you. Maybe people have treated you terribly. Maybe they've just been burying you in their junk, and you've had to just walk through it and walk through it. At the proper time, God will exalt you. You leave it to him. He's better at it than you. He'll do it in the right way, at the right time, and it will make the struggle and the fight look so different. You don't need to defend yourself. You don't need to justify yourself. God will do it for you, and it will be way better if it's done in his time and in his way. And you can trust that he will. I know some of us, you've been through it this year. I know your stories. You've told me some of your struggles. And I want you to know, God will exalt you. Your story doesn't end in this moment. But trust him to do it his way. And follow him through it, no matter how difficult it is. One of the things that I've really been preaching to myself lately is the reality of redefining success. Part of my anxiety is I want to control everything. I want to control all the outcomes in my life. I want to control the hand of God. But the Bible tells us that success is obedience. Good success is just doing what God is asking me to do and trusting God with everything else. And so many times what I want to do is I'm like, all right, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do, but you have to guarantee to me that it's going to turn out this way. That if I put in this effort, I'm going to get this result. And it's just all control tactics with me. But one of the things that I'm trying to do is just tell myself again and again, Chet, success is obeying God. Are you doing what God wants you to do right now? If the answer is yes, then you got nothing to worry about. You got nothing to freak out about. You don't need to control the future. It's in God's hands. You're doing what he asked you to do? Do it. And focus all your energy on the good things. And let God take care of the rest. And all I know, church, is that every time I really do that, it is freeing. It is empowering. All of a sudden, I have all this energy in my life because I'm not wasting it on these fruitless places. And I can put it towards what really counts. And I think the same will be true for you too. Here's the fourth thing that I want to say about humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that to really do this, you have to have a little bit of a nuanced theology. And what I mean by that is you have to understand that the wisdom and purpose of God can come through our lives, even in pain and suffering sometimes. See, sometimes we want to boil down our relationship with God into such a simplistic formula that we miss the nuances of what God does in pain and suffering and struggle. See, notice that in humility, we get our word humiliation from it. And what I think you will experience if you really try to practice humility, that there is a painful reality to it sometimes. But we can't have such a simple concept of God that we cannot have a category in our mind to realize that sometimes God does the best work in our lives through some pain and suffering and challenge. And if we try to make our walk with God so simplistic, we will miss him every time. In fact, the whole book of Job, if you've ever read the book of Job, the whole book of Job is about this idea that, listen, good things happening to good people and bad things happening to bad people is a way too simplistic worldview. And God will not be confined to those formulas and those categories. He is way wiser and greater than that. And a maturing walk with him means my mind can handle more of these complexities and nuances. Here's the fifth thing. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God by leaving the culture of self and worshiping the majesty of God. See, part of our anxiety today might be that we are just too focused on us. And it's hard. I'm sympathetic to this. All of our world constantly is trying to redirect our attention back to ourselves. People, social media, advertisement, all of it, it's a glorification of self. And the easiest thing in the world is just to fall into that current because it's so strong. But when we humble ourselves before the majesty of God, we take the spotlight off of self and we put it on God. Some of us, church, what we need to do today is we need to spend the rest of the day worshiping God, worshiping him. However you do it, listening to music, going out in nature, reading the Psalms, whatever, you've got to just spend some time taking your focus off of yourself and putting it on to God. Because when our life is so focused on ourselves, it will be anxiety producing. But when you start worshiping, you start getting filled with courage. You start getting filled with strength. You start getting renewed. You start having a different perspective. Everything that you're freaking out about, it doesn't seem so scary anymore because you're beholding this majestic and good and glorious God that loves you. And all of a sudden, life looks a lot different. And that's the power of worship. Here's the sixth thing. When we humble ourselves before God, It's recognizing that there's a certain exaltation that can only come from being brought low. I hope this resonates with some of you today. See, Peter says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. All of the roots of the word humility are this idea of low-mindedness or being brought low or kind of coming down to the earth, to the dirt. In Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, it all has that sort of connotation. And what Peter's saying, God brings us low through humility, and then we humble ourselves even more, and we go lower. But through that process, God brings us up. He exalts us. And there's a certain type of exaltation that can only really happen through that dipping effect, if you will. And what it made me think was so many of us this year, you have been brought low. Some of it, it's been from the choices that we've made. Some of it's not been from the choices that we've made. It's been from the challenge, the difficulty of life. I know some of you in our church, the kitchen sink has been thrown at you this year. You have had more come at you. Some of it's the nature of the world. Some of it might be spiritual. It might be evil just trying to take an opportune moment and kick you while you're down. And it's all come your way. And you felt it. You've lived in it. You've wondered, God, what are you doing? Why is this happening? You've looked around and you've seen other people that didn't seem to have the kitchen sink thrown at them. And you thought, what did I do to get this? What is going on? But I want you to know today, sometimes God is doing a special thing in you through that. And when the kitchen sink and everything comes your way, and you're still standing, you're still here worshiping, you're still serving God. You're limping, but you're still moving forward. You're like, yeah, Chad, I feel like I'm bleeding out everywhere, but you're still breathing and you're still alive. And what is God showing you? He's showing you that even when your worst fears and your greatest struggles are there, you're still going to keep going. And he's making you into somebody that can endure, someone that cannot be broken down. And I hope today that you see that God is building a strength in you that you didn't even know you had. God is doing a work in you that you didn't know that can be done. And when you go through something like that and you face your worst fears and they don't destroy you, you will live the rest of your life in a different and a better way. You will look at the most difficult things. You'll say, you know what? I went through 2020. I'm not afraid of you. I fought the good fight. I was bleeding out. But God helped me, and I still went forward. And that there is an exaltation in that, church. Some of you have gone through it. See, you think you're losing this year. You're not losing. You're actually winning. I know it doesn't feel like it. But God is doing something in you that you will carry for the rest of your life, and you will carry into eternity. And he is not failing you. He is fortifying you. He is not rejecting you. He is making you into something that you did not think you could be. Keep walking with him. Don't give up. Struggling is not failing. Struggling is sometimes just what it looks like when we follow the Lord. And I'm telling you, it will turn out for your good and for his glory. Keep moving forward. And here's the last thing I'll say. Humbling ourselves under the hands of mighty hand of God, it means offering our life as a living sacrifice to him. See, the times where I feel that I grow the most spiritually is when I honestly say to God, here's my life, Lord. Use it however you want. I'm not putting conditions on it. I'm not putting restrictions on it. I'm not going to get all freaked out and anxious and try to control you and everything when I don't understand what you're doing. I'm going to just give it to you without reservation. A living sacrifice. And ironically, a living sacrifice, it sounds like you're going to die. And it feels like that sometimes. It feels like when you give your life to God that sometimes you're losing everything. But here's what Jesus said. Whoever loses his life for my sake will gain it. See, whatever you give to God, whatever you think you're dying to, God is going to resurrect it into something that it could never be unless it was put in his hands. How do I humble myself under the mighty hand of God? I offer my life as a living sacrifice. Today, some of you, maybe your anxiety is because you're trying to do that, but you're a living sacrifice, so you're kind of crawling off the altar and saying, I don't know if I'm really ready for this. But when you give your life fully and completely to him, there is a freedom in it. There is a peace in it. And there is a realization that my life, the safest place it can be, is in the hands of Christ. And church, I want to encourage you to just put your life in his hands today. I'm going to close this in prayer this morning. And if you've never committed your life to Christ, if you've been maybe all your life kind of in a weird power struggle with God, or you've just kind of always tried to do your own thing, but today you hear what I'm saying and you know that it's true, then I want you to pray with me, and I want you to offer your life as a living sacrifice to him. If you are a follower of Jesus, but like me, you struggle with just letting the reins of control go, and you struggle with trying to control and micromanage God, and it creates this just unfun and unhealthy dynamic in your soul, then I want you to do the same thing. Let's just one more time recommit ourselves to say, I'm giving it all to you, Lord. You are trustworthy. You do care for me. And Father, however low life has brought me, I'm going to bring myself even lower so your purpose can fully happen through me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, for all those who for the first time are committing their lives to you. I pray, Father, that they would just receive the finished work of Christ. They would see their hope and their salvation in it, that you are a God of grace, not performance, that you've done for them through Christ what we could never do for ourselves. I pray they'd receive that gift, and in joyful gratitude, they would give their lives fully to you as a response. I pray for people like me, Lord, who are always just fighting the battle of trying to control you, fighting the battle of believing that you really, really are good, fighting the battle of understanding why things are happening and being frustrated in the midst of it. God, I just want to do what Paul says to do. I want to offer my life as a living sacrifice to you. Use it how you want. Glorify your name how you want. Guide me. Fill me. Help me, lead me, challenge me. I pray the same for all of us. And I pray, Lord, that we could be vessels of honor in your hand that are useful and prepared for every good work. Help us in this, Lord. I ask all this in Jesus' name.